Okay, everybody, welcome to a new episode of the Reckless Effect podcast, but it feels more like a reunion of the Three Count podcast with my boy Isaac, aka Big Beef. How are you, my friend?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
Oh man, it's another day in paradise. I think we can call it that.
I gotta congratulate you though. Wow. Congratulations on finally launching your merch, bro.
Oh man, thanks. Man, I was hella nervous about that, to be honest.
It looks dope.
Thanks. I'm gonna be putting in more stuff periodically. But it was funny because yesterday I got like 8 messages that said, so when are you going to get some girl stuff? And I was like, damn, I probably should have put girl stuff on there too already.
Yeah. But I mean, how long does it take for all that stuff to ship out?
About 5 to 7 days. Right. Yeah. So the turnaround is not that bad. I wanted to make sure that it gets to people, as quickly as possible. But I also know, you know, COVID and the post office delays hella shit. And because it's not Amazon, you know, we're going to get like last dibs, but yeah, I'm doing everything I can.
Dope, dope.
But yeah. So everybody out there, please go check it out. You know, BLKHRTclub.com. I felt like I should add the club because of Bullet Club.
All right, that's dope.
Yeah, so speaking of Bullet Club, well, we're not really going to talk about Bullet Club, but so a few weeks ago was WrestleMania. What was that like?
Yeah.
Last month. Or no, yeah, it was earlier this month. Or last month, actually. And
it was like a lifetime ago.
It feels like it, but you had texted me in the middle of it and said, we should do an episode and talk about how this one thing makes us feel like kids again. And it was just so crazy to me because I was literally thinking about my childhood and how I was feeling the same, that exact thing. So what do you think it is about WrestleMania that does that for us?
I mean, we've been watching WrestleMania, or well, wrestling in general. I've been watching it since like 2 or 3 years old, right?
Yeah.
So basically, it's, and the way that Vince sets it up is like a big spectacle. So every year, dude, I'm like counting down the days, like literally, like, okay, WrestleMania is this many days away. WrestleMania this weekend. Yo, I'm ready. But it's when I was watching it, man, it's always like, it brings me a sense of calm.
Yeah.
And an escape that I've always had where nothing else around me even matters. For this period of time, the only thing that matters is WrestleMania, and it's the no worry going through my whole entire head and body, and it just makes me feel like good inside. It makes me feel innocent and pure again.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's that innocence and purity of it. It's so strange how the entire year we can watch wrestling and be pissed off at certain angles, stories, how people are being used, and the lack of this, or the we're getting too much of this, like all of that, and then when it comes to WrestleMania, we're just like, yeah, you know, like it just feels really good.
And well, since we stopped doing the podcast, like one thing, since like now I'm just literally just watching it just to watch it. I'm not taking notes anymore. I'm not criticizing it. Dude, yeah, I'm so much happier with wrestling.
Yeah, it's the thing, right? Like when we were doing the podcast, it was just it felt kind of like a job. Like we had to critique it, and we're losing the love in a weird way. But at the same time, like WrestleMania didn't change that.
No, like even when we were doing the podcast all the time, like WrestleMania was coming up, we were getting hyped, and we always enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, and then when we would watch it together, it was just so much fun. Even when Sharon was there, like even though she wasn't as into it as us, like we were super excited about it. Like, yeah. You remember when the Hardy Boys came back?
Yeah, dude, I was just talking to a coworker about that because she's around our age. I think she's like a year or two younger than me. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, do you remember the year the Hardy Boys came back? And I knew exactly what year it was. I knew what she was talking about. And she's like, yeah. She's like, I felt like a little girl again. Like, I was super excited for the Hardy Boys to come back. Yeah. And how Jeff and Matt were wearing the fishnet shirts and then those big old jeans.
Yeah.
Bro, it really did felt at that point in time like going back to being a little kid and being excited to see them. But specifically this last WrestleMania when Stone Cold came out.
Oh, yes.
Dude, it was like another whole experience outside of everything. Like everything before that was really good. Everything from night two was really good. But specifically for that moment where Stone Cold was whipping Kevin Owens' ass and drinking beer at the end and giving stunners and gave Vince McMahon that stunner and Vince took it horribly. Like he did back in the day, just as bad.
This one, you know? Just as bad, but this one was like top-notch bad.
Yeah, dude, it felt again like this pureness and this joy where I was 100% happy watching wrestling. And it took me back to me being a kid, little kid again, like watching Hulk Hogan, watching Bret Hart, watching Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, you know, watching Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H. And then it was just like this, okay, I love wrestling still, and that passion is still there. But even though I'm an adult now, it still takes me to feeling like this little kid.
Yeah, for real. And it's crazy because, like, that Stone Cold moment, I was sitting there and I'm looking at my girl and I was like, she never really watched wrestling. Actually, she never did. She didn't care, really. She watched some shows with me, but then when, like, she saw my excitement over WrestleMania, I was like, I really want you to, like, watch it because I can tell you the match that is going to make you go, oh! And then you're going to love it and you're not going to want to miss an episode. And when Cody Rhodes' music came out, for me, I freaked. Even though I knew he was coming, even though we all knew he was coming, I freaked. And then my girl was just like, okay, this must be a big deal because he is reacting this way. Right. And then she watched the match and she was just like, oh, and I was like, there it is. That right there. Like, you're hooked now. And now she doesn't want to miss an episode.
So, the funny thing is, my girlfriend, she used to watch wrestling back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. But so she stopped, obviously, because most people do. But because I've been watching wrestling, she's been getting back into it. And when she saw Cody Rhodes, she's like, who's that? And so I explained to her who he was, why he left, and why it's a big deal now. But as I'm doing it, I'm like choking up, trying not to cry. Mm-hmm. Because it felt like somebody coming back home.
It really did. It really felt like he was coming back home. It felt like he was... It felt like... Gosh, there really is no other way to explain it except, yeah, it felt like he was coming back home. It felt like your child had moved away and they're doing all these things and they're coming back not as failures, but they're coming back as... you know, better and stronger and smarter, and you are proud of them for their journey, and now they're home again, going to make
right.
a bigger difference. That's what it felt watching him, because
yeah,
Cody, when he left and he went to Japan, and then he did his thing, and then he started AEW with the other guys. It was just, I told you before that I don't think they're gonna fail. I think they're going to really make an impact and that they're going to be real competition. And I remember a few friends who heard that podcast tell me, you're insane. There's no way, because none of these guys are that popular. They're not popular here in the States. Nobody really like cares. And it's WWE. They're always going
right. to
like reign supreme. And yeah, the numbers may be on WWE's side, but I think the popularity is shifting. I feel like AEW, they have their moments where it's like, this is trash, but they have moments, and it's because of our love of wrestling that they're tapping into. While WWE, we have the nostalgia, but we also love the wrestling, and they have entertainment, the great storytelling that they have that no one can compete with, to be honest.
My opinion. I mean, it's a good product. There are some stuff that's cringe that really takes me out of it. Oof. I have my moments where I'm like, I can't watch this filth. Yeah. It's not really to do like for example, on, was it Friday night, Sammy Guevara had that ladder match with the Scorpio Sky. And I was like, okay, but at the same time, like, dude, why are you having this ladder match? You just had one not too long ago with Cody.
Yeah.
You know, you got to spread this stuff out. Like, I understand you want to make every match a big deal, but at some point you got to realize maybe this isn't worth making a big deal out of, just because we want to make sure we get mileage out of the story we're telling. Are not only that, but the wrestlers, cause, you know, high flyers don't have a whole long lifespan in this industry.
It's rare.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that when we were at SPW and Sammy did his thing there at a show, you said this guy is going to be a star.
Yeah.
You called it, and yep, here he is.
I mean, I have good taste, man. I can tell, mm-hmm, like when dudes are gonna be something, because I said that about Titus Alexander, yep, who's just starting to get his name. I said that about Reno Scum, first time I even laid an eye on them.
Yeah.
I know they had been doing it for a while. I saw them walk past me. I was like, yo, these dudes are legit. It's just, I've been watching it so long. I know what guys have potential, what guys don't. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say they're wasting their time, but, you know, they got to realize they got to set their ceiling a little lower than what their goals probably are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, right now it's a good thing, too, is because all these guys can see we can go to AEW. But not only that, the people that are choosing not to go to AEW and hit the indie scene, there's money to be made. Like, last Sunday at SPW, mm-hmm, there was damn near 500 people packed into that Saga Center.
Really?
Dude, they were standing room only. Ugh. Like, it was packed. It was hot. It was sweaty. It was loud. And it was wonderful. There was all these little kids, dude, just screaming their heads off, having fun, dude. Choopy, he grabbed this little kid, dropped him on on one of the other wrestlers, totally protected the kid. And you know that little boy is going to have memories for the rest of his life. Right.
Yeah.
And he's always going to be looking back at that. Oh, I got to participate in the match as a kid. And to me, that's what this is all about. Right. It's like, yeah, us as adults, we have our opinions. We have our likes or dislikes. But in reality, these are superheroes to little kids.
Yes. That and is that's it.
The other thing, too.
Yeah. I tried to tell my lady, actually anybody, that I was like, when they ask me, why do you watch wrestling still? And it's like, dude, it's magic. It really is. They make you see something that you're like, in your mind, that couldn't have happened. But it happened, but it didn't. And that's the cool thing about it. There's still the mystery. There's still, even though we know the spots, we know this, we know that, it's still like such an incredible thing. And I love how when we watched it back then to where it is now, the evolution of like the styles, the match flow. And because we grew up with it, it grew on its own, and we still get those feelings. I think that's what it is, that attachment to being young, watching it, and us growing up, and WWE is growing at the same time. Wrestling is growing at the same time. Hearing people's stories and then seeing that thing that you just said, like that kid being in that match, like, even though it's like a small thing, it's not a small thing. It's a big thing to this kid forever. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at like rappers right now, right? So we know all members of the Wu-Tang Clan, mm-hmm, they grew up watching wrestling, mm-hmm, but they're older. So they grew up watching wrestling in the 80s. Right. So you have all these rappers that were into wrestling. Matthew McConaughey, who's older, he went to all the NWA shows out in Texas, threw tomatoes at people. Mm-hmm. But right now we have guys like Action Bronson, West Side Gun, mm-hmm, Wiz Khalifa, Wale. Like, all these dudes are like in the game now, hardcore wrestling fans. Like, they all have lines about wrestling in all their songs, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, if you hear the talk about it, well, you know, a lot of them grew up with dads. So when they watch TV on Mondays or Thursdays or Saturday mornings, whenever it was the guys on the TV who look like them, who they saw, like, oh shit, that's a bad motherfucker. that dude's my hero.
Exactly. And we love seeing that. Like, I love hearing wrestlers or hearing, like, rappers talk about wrestling and or get involved. Like, when you see Wale, I know that there's people that are like, why the fuck is he there? But then when you see him, like, really geek out over it, it's so cool. Because then it's like, right. You're not uncool watching it because Wale is watching it. Or, you know, Action Bronson. Just, it's so dope to see. Even when, basketball players, baseball players come out to the games. Or come out to the matches, and you see them, and they're hype, and they lose it when they watch it. It is so cool. Even UFC guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the UFC, dude, a lot of the guys that are more successful, they're taking the playbook out of professional wrestling. So Conor McGregor running his mouth, Chael Sonnen running his mouth, Kobe Covington running his mouth. You know, being the heel, realizing, yo, being the bad guy sells.
Not only that. But it's crazy how, like, Conor McGregor got his whole identity from Ric Flair and Vince McMahon.
And yeah, he stole Vince's strut, man.
The strut, the talk, the brash behavior, all of it. It's just so incredible to see that. And you hate him, and he loves it. Because he's like, I'm doing my job. And it's like, dude, he would... If he crossed over into the WWE, I think he could actually be successful because it'll of his wordplay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is a heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah.
Dude, he's going to be at Wimbledon, and he's going to have a face-to-face with McIntyre. We all know what's going to go down.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, it's yeah.
It's going to be, oh, my gosh. I am stoked. And I like Tyson Fury a lot as a boxer, but I like his personality. I like who he is. That's a good dude. And what was I thinking about? Speaking of, like, well, duh, we haven't got off the subject of wrestling. Because we're not going to. Well, maybe. I don't know. But so the match between, I've been waiting to ask you this, but the match between Charlotte and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, what would you rate that match and why?
Oh, dude. So that's the problem here now that I'm getting a little older, bro. Mm-hmm. My memory is a little off. Actually, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
If I was to give it, like, if I was to score it out of, like, 5 or 10, say, I would probably score it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. That's fair.
Just because I thought it was solid. I really liked the ending. I know it was a little funky. People typically don't. Mm-hmm. But Little Nate took the bump.
Yeah.
You know, gotta take respect to the ref for doing that. I thought it was a good match, and it was to set up a further match, which was fine.
Yeah, and I'm totally here for it. The thing that I kind of felt a way about was in the beginning, it felt really like there's no chemistry. And then eventually in the match, they started to find it. And I felt like it was more on Ronda's side because she just came back. You know, now she's on this big stage and she has to perform with one of the greatest, you know? And I thought that kind of like got to her for a little bit. But I kind of also felt that there was so much more that should have been told in the ring that night. The ending is fine, but I just felt like there needed to be just a little bit more, you know, going forward. Like, I thought that the biggest thing that WWE is missing that they should have jumped on is Lil Nate taking that bump in the first place. Lil Nate, counting to 3, but then calling it off because he saw Charlotte's thing. That should have been a big deal, because if Ronda would have went that route and was like, no, I know your history with this family, you screwed me. I kind of wanted that angle to come into play, something light, so have him come back again as the referee for this I Quit match and help her. Something like that would have been just a little bit more fun, because we would see a bigger evolution of a story rather than just jumping into, we're having an I Quit match. That seems like a finale type of match. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But let's give it up to Becky Lynch. Ooh. And Bianca Belair. Dude, my girl was super hyped. She loves Bianca Belair.
Oh, she! I told you, that girl got skills. I told you when she was really NXT. Good. Like,
yeah,
she was ready. She was ready before she knew she was ready.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I think she needed to have her confidence built up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so but that match was phenomenal, dude. That match was great. And again, dude, I felt like there's joy in me, dude. It's like, yeah, like, certain people that you're fans of, they win. You're like, yeah, okay, you know, they won. They're the champion. But when Bianca won, dude, I was like, yo, fuck yeah.
Fuck
like,
yeah.
Like, damn near, like, get a little bit emotional, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, it was well-deserved and a really good, solid match. Even my girl said that that was her match of the night. She said she loved the flow. It was really good. Yeah, it was just so fun. But for me, my match of the weekend, to me personally, was Cody and Rollins.
That was really good, man. It was like one of those straight up classic, like yo, I might have been gone and made established myself somewhere else. You know, people might have said I couldn't cut the mustard, but here I am, a good back and forth, like match. You know, you would think that their styles would clash a little, but they really didn't. What they did in that ring told a really good story.
Yeah, and I love how Rollins just sold the hell out of it from beginning to end, not knowing, quote unquote, who he was going to face. But then when they cut back and he realizes it's Cody, he's laughing. And then he's like, I'm ready. Like, it was just that whole moment. It was just so good. Like, those two killed it. And they left it all out there. And I love that it got, you know, it was, what, 20 minutes?
It was, yeah, it got some time.
It got a lot of time. But back to Stone Cold, I mean, seeing Stone Cold was just awesome. And what I loved the most was just the fact that he kept walking around and drinking beer in the middle of the match. And it was just like, this felt fresh, not just nostalgic, but it felt fresh at the same time. You know what I mean?
It really did. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was my favorite match too. Like, that was number two for me. That
was my number one, hands down. I mean, dude, he took a back bump, a suplex on the concrete floor. I mean, he took his bump, man. I was like, yo, all right, I can dig it. I know at first it was a little rusty seeing him try to stomp out Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't done it in a while. And he's like, yo, I'm tired. These damn knees don't work no more. I started laughing.
Yeah.
But to me, my match, my personal favorite was Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. It was a real life Looney Tunes cartoon.
Right?
And I was laughing the entire time. It was just pure and utter happiness, dude. And it was remarkable. It was great.
It's crazy because when people think of wrestling, they think of, like, this gimmick, and they're thinking how stupid and silly it is because, oh, it's not real. And it further, like, furthers their argument of it not being real. But then it only strengthens our argument that it's entertainment, you know? And they entertain the hell out of everything. When Wee Man hit the body slam. Oh my god,
dude. Yeah.
The power slam. That was, whew, I was blown away. Even my girl kind of was like, wow, I didn't see that happening. And like, I love it. And even Sammy said that will forever be his favorite match.
Yeah. I mean, how do you top that, dude? You have everybody in that building just having a reaction, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do. That's why they do it. They don't do it for, well, they do it for the money, obviously, right? But they do it to get that reaction. If you're not getting that reaction, then something's wrong.
For real. I mean,
and he got exactly what he set out to do. Like, that was his goal, was to be the bad guy, and was just to make sure that the crowd booed him when he was winning or to cheer Johnny when Johnny was winning. And that's exactly what they both did.
Yeah. And give it up to Johnny. I mean, he went out there and had fun, you know.
Yeah.
He was being himself and not a character. And that's the thing that I really admired about that match too. Like, they went out there and was like, let's have fun. And that was dope. And incorporating, like, Jackass stunts and the cast. I mean, it was just, that was pure fun and entertainment. And the reception that they got at the end was great and well-deserved.
Yeah, dude, just the way that the match ended with the rat trap, dude, it was fantastic.
That was so great. I love that. But these entertainers that are coming in and trying to wrestle, like, what is happening? Why? Not only are they coming in and actually doing a really good job, but they are wrestling. What is going on?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's because they've been this is their childhood, right? Mm-hmm. This is a childhood dream come true. I mean, I know we saw Jake Paul or whatever, Paul brother it was. He came in, he looked good, dude. I mean, that dude is easily hateable, but he's big. He's got a look on him. He's athletic as hell.
Yeah. I was surprised. Like, not only was he, like, great in the ring, but he was also really good at telling stories and getting the crowd into it. Like, when he threw the Eddie, when he did the Eddie shoulder roll. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is great heel work. Like, either he just honed that and he just knew, like, okay, I have these moments and this is going to happen. Or The Miz is, like, the most underrated teacher in WWE.
Have you seen the Evil series on Peacock yet?
I only watched Randy Orton.
All right, watch The Miz's and you understand that this dude has a mind for the business and how he knows how to be hated and it comes natural to him.
Oh, man. I'm going to watch that as soon as I get off because I love The Miz.
It's crazy, too, because when you watch Miz and Mrs., he's so fucking likable.
He's so likable, so lovable. I'm watching him on The Real World, I loved him. Watching him on Tough Enough, I loved him and rooted for him. Even when he was the host of SmackDown, I rooted for him. Like, actually, I'd never stopped rooting for him, to be honest. Like, I will always be a fan of The Miz. But how good he is at being a heel, I mean, it's just top-notch. I mean, when he and Dolph Ziggler had that run, forget about it. I didn't care about the WWE title. And it sucked because Dean Ambrose was the champion at the time. Didn't care because The Miz was holding it down. He was the best character on TV at that time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, hands down, dude, The Miz is one of the all-time great heels. Like, he understands everything, and you just can't help but feel an emotion and give a reaction that he wants you to give.
Yeah, it's just so good. And like, Logan Paul was good, Johnny Knoxville was good, but Bad Bunny,
really good.
He has to be the best entertainer to come in and wrestle. Yeah. He has to be.
Biggest musician in the world right now, possibly.
Yeah, and now he's going to be in a Marvel movie.
Yep, I saw that. I know, my girl, she sent me the message on Instagram. She's like, yo, Bad Bunny's going to be, I can't remember what character he's playing. I have no idea what character.
Me either. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. But yeah, dude, wrestling in general, man. I mean, like, when I watch it, I get like this, like I said, dude, like, there's just this joy I get out of it. And it's just easy to kind of like escape.
Yeah.
Especially, but, like, with, I know we're talking about how wrestling gives, like, just specifically wrestling, but there's things that don't do that for me anymore, dude, like basketball. I don't know if it was because when Kobe passed away, dude, that took like a whole chunk out of me or what, or just because, like, I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan because I'm a Laker fan, right?
Yeah.
But even then, like, I could sit down and watch a full basketball game and fully enjoy it. But like this playoffs, dude, I watched like three. I watched that opening weekend. Haven't watched a minute since.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I just don't like certain players. Because I don't like Kyrie Irving.
Oh, yeah.
But I love Durant.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know? Like, I feel the same way. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, I've always loved basketball. I played basketball. But I recently, it just hasn't been that for me. And, like, growing up, it, like, my first real memory of basketball was 98 playoffs, I want to say. 98-99 yeah. season when the Spurs and the Knicks played in the finals. And watching Tim Duncan and David Robinson get their ring. Like, that season entirely was just incredible to me because I became a Mavericks fan. And then, like, watching that guard with Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan, Patrick Ewing, you know, watching all of them slowly retire. And then, you know, we have the era of Kobe and Michael's leaving and Kobe's taking over. Dirk Nowitzki is, like, a silent killer. Right. Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade coming in, and then all these people that we love to watch just retire. And then Kobe dies, and it was really like the end for me. That's how I felt.
It really did. It was kind of like the end of an era, dude. Because you're right. Because like I could sit there and watch a Spurs game, right? I could see Spurs play whoever. I could see Dirk play against whoever. You know, I can see I could see Carmelo Anthony play against whoever. I know he's still playing, but it's not the same guy anymore.
No.
But I could sit there and watch all these guys play and entertain. And yeah, they weren't playing my Lakers, but I could sit there and watch the entire game. I don't know if it's the fact that I know now that so much money is involved in decision making on the player's behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when I'm watching these guys play, I'm like, would they go and fight the other team for their teammate?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I don't see that happening, and I'm just like, damn, like that kind of just like pulls something more out of me. But when, like you said, dude, once Kobe passed away, to me that was kind of end of that era, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really watched a game since. And literally the Lakers won a championship in that bubble. I watched maybe the last game and then like two or three other games during that season.
The thing is, like, I will forever put an asterisk on that season and that Lakers win. And that's no disrespect to them, but it's just everything that was going on in the world and cutting the season in half and then coming back. It's just wild. And what's even crazier to me is that this season, on paper, the Lakers should have been the number one seed. They should have had 60 wins. And they don't even make it to the playoffs. You know?
That's funny because a lot of my friends were saying, oh, Lakers are shoo-ins. Like that. I looked at that team. I was like, yeah, a shoo-in 7 years ago. Those guys were all old, man.
Not only are they all old, but they all have something that other teams lack, and that's the crazy thing. On paper, they have the leader in LeBron. They have the big man with Anthony Davis. They have the smart and aggressive point guard with Rondo? No. Westbrook.
Westbrook.
Yeah, they have that demon in him. They have Carmelo, who can rotate in and out. They have so many like great players that are around them that it should have worked. And when you look at other teams, especially in the Western Conference, the Jazz have a great system. The Nuggets have a great system, and they have great players on the team, and they have like a six man that is ridiculous. The Clippers are really good, but you're not talking really about them. and the Mavericks. I mean, come on. The Mavericks are insane. Yeah. But going into this season, it should be the Lakers.
Yep.
But it just fell. And I just couldn't believe it. Even the Kings, I'm not even going to lie to you. I had high hopes for the Kings. I really did.
I think you're the only one, man.
I am. But I really was like, okay, they are going to show people that they are actually a good squad. And I think that they could make it at least to the eighth seed. At least. But they do what they did, what they do every year. And that was just, it shouldn't have been sad to see, but it was sad to see, you know?
I mean, if I was, I was watching the playing games and that, and I was like, yo, the Lakers made the playoffs. But if you look at the other teams that made the playoffs, dude, every single player that the Lakers traded away to get all these other big names were on playoff teams, got farther than the Lakers, looked better than the Lakers. I'm talking about Brandon Ingram, I'm talking about Caruso. There's all a bunch of other young guys, dude. I looked at him. I was like, the only person that didn't make the playoffs was Julius Randle.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in the playoffs last year. I'm just like, it's sad.
It's really sad. But then when you're talking about, like, a team that goes and fights with their other teammates, they're... isn't a team that I can see that fought for a single player. You know what I mean? Like, Kyrie, he stayed out of the season for his own personal beliefs. Whether you agree or not for the circumstance, that's irrelevant. What I didn't like was the team just not really fighting in his corner, because that's your teammate.
Right.
KD, you came to Brooklyn because of him. You talked to him and Jimmy Butler before the season ended the year before and said, we're going to play together in New York. And because the New York Knicks fucked up, because that's where they wanted to go, they went to Brooklyn. And Jimmy Butler went to Miami. He's killing it out there, and his team's fighting for him and with him. But when Kyrie was out, it was just like, yo, it looks like you just don't give a fuck. And then when he was able to play and come back again, you looked like you just didn't give a fuck. Like, the looks that he would get, his reactions, it's just like, you guys aren't playing like a team. You're not playing like you care. And that's the crazy thing to me. That will always be the most ridiculous thing. And this Brooklyn Nets team should have been a lot better than what they are right now. They're good, but they could be so much better. And Kyrie, though, I will say, there's one thing I do like about him. And that when he starts talking about the crowd and how they talk to him and how he responds, I 100% agree. These fans are wild.
Oh, dude, like, I could never manage to do any of this stuff, man. I mean, we just saw the Yankee game where the Yankees win to walk off, and then fans start throwing shit at the at that outfielder. I'm like, yo, what the hell?
What the
fuck? You had Aaron Judge and the other guys have to run out there, how to calm the fans down. Like, what is your problem?
It's insane. Like, when they're calling him the N-word and they're cussing him out. Yeah. And then I saw one game, I forgot who it was, but it was the end of the game, and a player was walking to the back, and some fan threw something at him, and he took out his guard, and he threw it and accidentally hit the girl in the head. And he did the right thing and apologized and said, hey, who was that girl? Because I that's not right. I need to apologize to her, blah, blah, blah. But can we talk about the bigger picture? Like, these fans is getting wild and just
Man.
Treating them like animals. Like, you own them.
I mean, it's Boston, though. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, Boston is wild.
That's what it is. Have you watched the Laker show on HBO? Making the Laker Dynasty.
Not yet.
So, dude, it's so great. The guy they got to play, Larry Bird, mm-hmm. perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, just there's episode where Magic goes to Boston, play there for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they talk about the whole racism and things like that, and it's bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not that surprised.
Yeah.
But I still want to see it.
Yeah. But so switch you back to wrestling. Do you watch Young Rock?
Oh my God! Yes.
So back to like feeling like a little kid, that nostalgia. So when The Rock talks about wrestling, yo, the little tidbits here and there, I got like this joy. So like, I don't know. Did you watch last week's episode?
No, not yet. Wait, the one with Roman Reigns?
No. Okay. So no, there's one that came out last Tuesday. Ooh, that was really good. Watch it. I don't want to mess it up for you. You meet somebody that he came up in the business with, and he meets him as a teenager, and you're just going to be like, okay, you're going to start feeling like these emotions. You're going to start feeling like, yo, okay, I'm seeing something really dope. This is really cool. But when he's like as a kid, seeing Andre the Giant, the Iron Sheik, seeing his uncles, you know, seeing Pat Patterson, like the Pat Patterson episode, dude, got me all emotional, how his grandpa had Pat Patterson's back because, you know, Pat was the first openly gay professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, okay.
And
childhood, emotions, purity, like you hear The Rock talking about it. And then it's like, okay, I get how the business is important to him. But for me, like knowing, getting to know all this other stuff is pretty cool too.
It's really cool just to hear that other perspective. And hearing so many like stories from other people, you never really hear The Rock story. And this show is so good because you get to not only see his story, but all the players in his life that really like brought him up. And I love hearing that, hearing Pat Patterson talk, and having that faith in him. Hearing the day that he had with Andre, you know, feeding birds.
Yeah.
Like that one was so good. And I love that show, and I can't wait to see the episodes that I missed. I've been trying to catch up on a whole bunch of shit, and I watched that Vice show about the wrestlers. What is it called?
Dark Side of the Ring.
Yes, Dark Side of the Ring. Oh my gosh! Just hearing all those stories is just wild to me. So wild. The Nick Gage story. Have you seen that?
Dude, that dude is nuts.
Nuts.
How he's not dead is beyond me.
No, you know who should be in jail?
Who?
New Jack.
Oh, he's gone, you know. Rest in peace, New Jack.
He died?
Yeah, he died like earlier this year, last winter.
Shut up. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That is crazy. How did he die?
Heart attack, I think.
Oh man, shit. He was still. Oh, yep, I see it right here. Oh man, that is crazy. I had no. Yeah, he died of a heart attack. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Rest in peace, New Jack. But still.
Yeah, I mean that dude wild. Stabbed people.
He stabbed the dude 9 times.
He in threw a that one dude off the scaffold, bro. He's nuts.
He was nuts. And then how he just laughed about it and was just like, yeah, you know, I was fucking around. I was doing some coke, you know. I was just like, my man, like, what? My girl, she's in law school and she wants to be a DA. And I was like, okay, before we watch this episode, I'm going to need you to be in full lawyer mode. And she was like, I don't want to use my brain. And I was like, I promise. I know bits and pieces of this story. You're going to want to use your brain. And then we watched it. And when we got to the part where he threw the dude off the scaffold, she was like, oh, no, hell no. That's attempted murder. He brought a fucking stun gun. What the hell?
Yep.
Like, that man was wild. But
yeah,
looking back on that, even like, it still gives you chills, even though you're looking at it like, dude, you're fucked up. But then in that moment, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, that was still hella cool.
Like, yeah, dude, it's just that shock factor, bro. It's just, it gets you.
Yeah, his shock factor was that. Yeah. ECW was that way. But
yeah,
they did it better. Except New Jack was insane.
Batshit crazy.
Yeah. And then I watched The Plane Ride from Hell. I don't think Tommy Dreamer should have got any of that heat.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other situation. That's another conversation for another day.
No, yeah. For real.
We'll have to talk about how our mouths get us in trouble sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We can talk about that another time. But shit, man, it was really good to talk to you and just
it was, man.
Go down that lane. But you down to do another one day?
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, everybody, this was another episode of Three Count Podcast.
Hey, yo.
Man, that was good. All right, I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Absolutely, bro. Let me know when I'm gonna have you on again.
All right, for sure. I got you.
All right, brother. Peace out.
All right, peace. And ladies and gentlemen, again, that was your boy Isaac, aka Big Beef. Man, so much fun. There's so much stuff about like wrestling that we just didn't get into, but I assure you, when something big happens, he's definitely gonna get on. And he's also a huge hip hop fan, just like me. So the next time we're gonna probably get into some more like hip hop and wrestling and how they actually like coalesce. You know, not just with people coming in and being in the ring, but the music that was also provided to the WWE and other platforms of wrestling. So. Yeah, we're going to get into that. But before I go, as I always do, I'm going to leave you with some heat. Since we were talking about nostalgia and going down memory lane, I felt like it was appropriate to, you know, drop a song that is called Nostalgia. And it's going to be by Pusha T featuring Kendrick Lamar. And the reason why I'm choosing this song to close out is not only for the nostalgia angle, but also because the science behind this, two people who have the same love of the game, love of, you know, bars and heat, love for hip hop, you know, these two people come together and create this magic. And it's both equal. When you split the song in half, it's equal on both sides. The bars are equal on both sides. And hearing how, you know, Kendrick broke down, it made the whole thing a brick. It's beauty, it's science, and it matches the energy between myself and Isaac, where two guys who happen to work at the same job, who happen to love hip hop, who happen to love, you know, wrestling. And we talked about it so much that we decided we should combine forces and do this thing. And we created Three Count Podcast. And once we created that, everything changed. We loved doing it and we loved wrestling. And even though it's no longer a thing of ours, Three Count Podcast, it's still something that we love and cherish, at least for me. I loved it. So without further ado, let's get into nostalgia. But oh yeah, real quick, I want to shout out to all of you. First off, thank you. A couple weeks ago, I hit 10,000 followers on Instagram, and I was like, yo, this is wild. And as of this recording, I'm at 11,200, and I could not be more appreciative and just happy overall at the love that you guys have shown me. I'm really hype. And like you mentioned earlier, the store is open. Go to BLKHRTClub.com and get your merch. I will be dropping new stuff periodically, and I will be putting some women's product on it. So, ladies, sorry, but it will be there. Thank you so much for all of the love. Thank you so much for just riding with me and just having this fun with me and going down this beautiful journey with me. I truly appreciate it. You have no idea. So, let's get into it. Thank you so much, everyone. And continue to follow, continue to share this podcast with your friends, your family. Follow me, buy my shit, support black business, support black artists, just support small business, period. Shit, man, that's what else can I say? Nothing. So I'm gonna let Push close it. Peace.
Years of selling Johnson & Johnson. I started out as a baby face monster. No wonder it's diaper rash on my conscience. My teething ring was numb by that nonsense. Gym star razor and a dinner plate. Arm and hammer and a mason jar, that's my dinner date. Then crack the window in the kitchen, let it ventilate. Cause I let it sizzle on the stove like a minute steak. Nigga, I was cracking the school zone. Two beepers on me, started jacket that was two-tone. Four lockers, four different bitches got they mule on. Black Ferris Bueller cutting school with his jewels on. Couldn't do wrong with a chest full of chains and an arm full of watches. What I sell for pain in the hood, I'm a doctor. Chivago, tried to fight the urge like Ivan Drago. If he dies, he dies. Like Doughboy the Trey, if he rides, he rides. Throwing punches in his room, if he cries, he cries. We don't drink away the pain. When a nigga die, we add a link to the chain. Inscribe a nigga name in your flesh. We playing on a higher game of chess. Once you delegate his bills, who gon' fuck his bitch the best? 1,000,000 megapixels of the Pyrex. Started on the scale, did you tell my only Timex? Nigga, this is timeless. Simply cause it's honest. Pure as the fumes that be fucking with my sinus. Nigga, this is Simon Says. Simon Red. Blood on your diamond till you dying dead. Yeah.
You wanna see a dead body? Instrumentals from my mama's Christmas party. Troubles on my mind. I still smell crime. My little brother crying. Smokers repeatedly bind my Sega Genesis. Either that or my auntie was stealing it. Hit the pipe and start filling it. Ooh, wee, cut me some slack. We never did that. This was different. Jeez Louise, please help me relax. Quantum physics could never show you the world I was in when I was 10. Back when 9 ounces had got you 10. And 9 times out of 10, niggas don't pay attention. And when there's tension in the air, nines come with extensions. My daddy turned a quarter piece to a 4.5. Took a L, started selling soap fiends, bubble bath. Broke his nails, misusing his pinky to treat his nose. Shirt buttoned open, taco meat laying on his gold. I said, daddy, one day I'ma get you right with 36 sips. 1,000 grams of cocaine, then your name will be rich. Now you can rack it up or sell it soft as leather interior. Drop some ice cubes in it, Debo hard perimeter. He said, son, how come you think you'll be my connect? I said, pops, your ass is washed up with all due respect. He said, well, nigga, then show me how it all makes sense. Go figure, motherfucker, every verse is a brick. Yo, son, dope, nigga. Now reap what you sowed, nigga.
Please reap what you sowed, nigga.
I was born in 87, my granddaddy a legend. Now the same shit that y'all was smoking is my profession. Let's get it.
They must be on the dick of who? They must be on the dick of who?